right now. My heart's doing cartwheels right now. That's a blessing. Levi, that is such a blessing. It's a blessing to all y'all be singing, but I just to know, just to see how God's worked in Levi's life over the past year or so, it's just a blessing to see him up singing in church. That's just that's such an encouragement. And so thank you all for that song. And it's just good to be in church. I tell you what we're going to do. It is early. Pastor Brandon told me, you're going to get in the pulpit early. They keep getting me in the pulpit earlier and earlier on Sunday nights, and either I'm going to preach longer or something. Next Sunday night, we got cookies. All right, so there's going to be, we're going to have a reason to get out next Sunday night. We'll have some cookies and some hot chocolate. I kind of wish we had it tonight, don't you? It's a hot chocolate kind of night. And so next week we will have, Lord willing, cookies. And so some of you ladies, and I said that the other day. I said to my wife that we could have just got the youth group, the girls in the youth group, to make all the cookies, because I know a lot of our young ladies like to bake, and they do a good job. And Meredith said, what about the young men in the youth group? I said, I know Branson makes a mean chocolate chip cookie. Huh? No, I don't know. But she said, you can't leave the men out. So if you, one of you guys, if you've got a special recipe of your favorite cookies, bring them on, right? I don't, but I like eating them. And so you just bring your favorite recipe of any kind of cookie for that matter. And we're going to have a cookie buffet next Sunday night, right? And so hopefully we'll have some hot chocolate, some milk. You got to have milk with cookies, don't you? That's what I'm saying. Some milk and cookies, some hot chocolate, maybe some coffee for those of you that like to drink coffee late in the evening. We'll do that. But anyway, it's going to be good. I want to do this. How about this? Two testimonies. Just two tonight. I want to give two people an opportunity to testify and just praise the Lord for something that's happened in their life. If we don't have two, then we'll just get into the preaching. But I just, on the way to church tonight, I was actually thinking about that. And I thought, if I get in the pulpit early enough, I'm going to ask for two testimonies tonight. And so is there anybody here tonight that would like to stand up and give us a testimony? Yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen. That's a blessing. Brother Ricky, I reached out to him last week, and I'm sure some of you did, and he was telling me how he got to pray with his doctor. He's laid up there, you know, sick, and he's concerned about praying with his doctor. That's a blessing. That's a good testimony. So praise the Lord for touching Brother Ricky. Anybody else? One more. We got one testimony. How about another? Brother Marcus? Amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor Brandon, why don't you come back up here and lead us in happy birthday to Ellie. Ellie's birthday. Ellie, you mind if we sing happy birthday to you? Yeah. let's all stand, whether she minds it or not, and let's sing happy birthday to Ellie.
Here we go. Happy birthday, dear Ellie, all right? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ellie. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. I almost forgot. You can be sick. Well, stay standing. We'll read the scripture. I'm sorry. 1 Samuel chapter 5. I almost forgot I had a mic on. That almost got ugly. I'm telling you right now. Y'all about got an entertainment tonight at y'all was going to hear Levi sing for the first time and Pastor David sing for the first time. And I promise you, Levi's was going to be better. I promise you that. I come so close, I hit the huh, and I was like, whoa, I got a mic on. Thank God I realized that. Amen. Thank God for a monitor, wherever that's at. All right, 1 Samuel chapter number 5. And since you're standing, we'll get into the scripture reading. We're going to pick up in the life of David where we left off at last week. And so 1 Samuel chapter number 5, and I think I'm going to start reading in, how about we just read verses, let's read verses 23 or 22. Let's read verses 22 down through verse 25. 1 Samuel chapter 5. Oh, I said 1 Samuel. Man, I hope my preaching goes better than this entrance is going there. 2 Samuel chapter number 5. Some of you thought, man, I thought we was talking about David, right? Good night. 2 Samuel chapter number 5. Amen, it is a good thing. 2 Samuel chapter number 5. I'll give you time to get there. We'll read verse 22 through verse number 25. The Bible says, "And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. And let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your goodness. And God, thank you for allowing us to be in church tonight. God, for the songs that have been sung, the testimonies that have been given. God, for your goodness in our lives, we just want to say thank you. And God, I do pray as I began to look into your word tonight, I pray, God, that you would help me. God, I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. God, how I want to be used by you tonight. Lord, I don't believe I deserve it, but God, I sure desire your help. And Lord, I pray that you would just fill me. God, I pray that you would fill your people. And Lord, I pray that you would use your word tonight and your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. We've been looking at the life of David, and as if you'll recall, last week we left off and we were talking about David's covenant with Israel, how that David made a covenant with the children of Israel, and how that he was crowned king, not just in Hebron, but also in Israel, and how that there was this huge celebration. All the people came and they celebrated their new king. And then as I finished the message last week, I mentioned that David conquered a city, and you'll find that in 1 Samuel chapter number 5, you'll see that David went in verse number 6, and he conquered the city of Zion, the city of Jerusalem, and he took it, and then after that, I mentioned about his concubine and how that, we'll get into that later in David's life, that'll come back on him, but not long after David has been crowned as king, they've had this huge coronation, they had this huge celebration, And David has conquered the city of Jerusalem. Not long after that, maybe even in between that, I'm not exactly sure right when this took place. Some people believe right before David took the city of Jerusalem. Some believe it was right after he took the city of Jerusalem. I don't think that that really matters in the big scheme of things. But right in this time, the enemy comes in verse number 17. Look at it. The Bible says, but when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines, that's important that we understand, all the Philistines came up. I mean, we're talking about a nation that's kind of divided like many nations are. If we were to look back at the Philistines, we can see that there's different groups in the Philistines. But this verse says that all the Philistines came up, and it says that they came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. I personally believe that David had already taken the city of Jerusalem, and the Bible's saying that he went down to the hold. Some think he went down to a hold in Jerusalem. I personally believe that David may have went down into a hold, a cave that he had been to before, and I personally believe it may be the cave of Adullam, the cave where David and his mighty men were. And I don't want to get into all of that tonight, but in 2 Samuel 23, we may get to where David's men went through and got him a drink of water from the well there in Bethlehem. And there's some debate about exactly when that happened. This could have been the event that happened in. If David was in that cave, down in that hold, it wouldn't make sense for David to go to a place that he felt comfortable, a place that was familiar, a place that David knew very well, that he could plot out his plan and figure out how he was going to fight these Philistines. But either way, they came up and they sought to fight with David. And the Bible says that David went down into a hold. And verse 18 says, the Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord. That's a good thing here. David inquires of the Lord and he asks God, he says, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. I just wanted to make mention of that. I'll come back to it here in a moment. But isn't it just like the enemy to come at a time like this? I mean, David has just been crowned king. They've just had a huge celebration, if you want to call it a coronation. The whole nation has come together, and they've crowned David as king of Israel. And we saw last week they celebrated. They were eating, they were drinking for 3 days. They were just having a good time, a celebration. David comes in. I believe he takes the city of Jerusalem. He shows some of his might. It's his first act as a king of a united nation. And here, right out on the heels of that, the enemy comes and attacks. Isn't that just like the enemy? I mean, am I the only person that feels like it's when things are going the best, when you're on the mountaintop, when you're coming off of a great victory, it seems like that's when the devil shows up. That's when the enemy comes along. That's when the attack begins. You got to be always vigilant, because that's when the enemy will come many times. If you haven't experienced it, just hang on. It's sometimes right on the backside of a victory, right on the backside of a high point, the enemy comes. And whether that enemy comes in the way of self or the flesh, whether it comes in the way of Satan, or whether it comes in the way of this world system, no matter what, the enemy comes and attacks. And David goes and he prays and he asks God, God, what shall I do? And God tells David what to do. And God says, I'm going to deliver them. I doubtless shall deliver the Philistines into thine hand. And so David goes up, and the Bible says that David smote them there, and the Lord broke forth upon the enemies before me as the breach of waters. And so David wins this great victory. He beats the Philistines. The Bible says that he burns their images. So the Philistines evidently had brought their little false gods with them, thinking that that was going to give them victory over Israel and victory over David. And so the Philistines come. They evidently bring their gods with them, and they lose this battle. And verse number 21 says that they left their images, and David and his men burned them. Can I just mention this? It really has nothing to do with my message. But David's reign is already starting out different than Saul's. You remember what Saul did when he won the victory. God said, I want you to destroy the Amalekites. I don't want anything left of the Amalekites. And you know what Saul did? Saul defeated the Amalekites, but he didn't kill the king. And he kept the sheep and the oxen. And Samuel came and he said, what's the sound of the bleating of sheep that I hear in my ear, Saul? He said, obedience is better than sacrifice. Right? And so here's David. It's his first battle, so to speak, as king over a united Israel. And maybe that's got something to do with it. I don't know. But the first battle that David wins against the Philistines, the Bible says that he destroyed their images, burned them with fire. He didn't want nothing left of it. But then look at verse number 22. It says, and the Philistines came up yet again. Now, isn't that like the enemy? I said it's like the enemy to come up right after a victory, right after a high moment in your life. But can I tell you another evidence of the enemy is he comes again. The enemy came up yet again. Always showing up, keeps coming back. And so that's where we're at here in verse number 23, and that's where I want to preach from. So I wanted to give you a little backdrop on how we got here. And I want to preach a message tonight out of verses 23 through verse number 25. And I've entitled the message this, Listening for the Sound. Listening for the Sound. You know, I personally believe, and I'll get into it in a little bit, I almost titled this message, Listening to the Wind. I personally believe that it was the wind that David was listening to. But I can't dogmatically say that because the Bible doesn't say that. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse number 24, it says, Let it be when thou hearest the sound of a going. Right? It says, Well, now here's the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees. He says, Then thou shalt bestir thyself. And so there's a sound that David's listening for. And I want to preach on that thought tonight. But before we get to that, I want to start out by saying this. I want to look at some things that happen here in this story that I believe we can learn, some lessons we can learn from this story in our own lives. And the first thing I see here is the importance of asking. The importance of asking. I think there's a great lesson here about asking. Look at verse number 19. It says, David inquired of the Lord. You know what that means, right? He asked. David inquired of the Lord. Then in verse number 23, it says, And when David inquired of the Lord. So David asked God again. I believe there's a great lesson here for us about asking. You see, David didn't just assume that the same plan would work again. He asked. You see, that you think, well, that's obvious, Brother David. I mean, why would David assume? I don't know. Why do we? Why do we? You know, many times we just assume that it's going to work out like it did last time. We just assume that God's going to do what he did last time. You understand what I'm saying? David didn't just assume, he asked. I thought about some people in the Bible that assumed that something would go a certain way. How about Moses? You remember what happened with Moses? God told Moses, he told Moses to smoke the rock and the water would come out of it to give the children of Israel water there in the wilderness. And so Moses smoked the rock and the water came out. And then there was a later occasion where God told Moses to they needed water again. And God, you know the story. God told Moses to speak to the rock. But you know what Moses did? He smote it. Why did Moses smoke the rock the second time? Well, possibly because he just assumed it worked the first time. It worked to smite the rock the first time. Why wouldn't I just smite it the second time? Because that's not the way God said do it. But you know, it's a trend in the Bible, and it's a trend, I believe, in our lives that many times we just assume things. How about Joshua? I thought about Joshua when he brought the children of Israel. He led the children of Israel there into Canaan's land. And the first battle that the children of Israel faced when they got into Canaan's land was against the city of Jericho. You remember that? And God gave Joshua and the children of Israel, a great victory there at Jericho, and the walls fell down, and they went in, and they took all the stuff. And then the Bible says, I don't even know what chapter 5, 6 maybe, I didn't even read it this afternoon, but you're familiar with the story. Right after they defeated Jericho, the very next place that they were going to go to was Ai. And if you'll recall, Joshua doesn't pray, he doesn't ask God, he just assumes, well, we beat Jericho. Surely we can beat Ai. They're not near as powerful as Jericho. They're not near as strong as Jericho. They don't have those great city walls that Jericho has. And so Joshua just assumed that they could defeat this little small enemy called Ai. And so Joshua sent some men in to fight against Ai. And you know the story. They were defeated. And Joshua lost some men in battle, and he come back, and Joshua went before God, and he asked God, God, what's going on? And God said, Joshua, hey, get up. What are you doing, man? Get up. He said, there's sin in the camp. You just assumed that because you beat Jericho, you were going to beat Ai. You with me? It's easy to just assume something. How about Samson? Samson had gotten up so many times, the Philistines come upon him, and Samson would rise up, and he would rip off whatever was holding him down, and Samson would defeat those Philistines. And the Bible says, I wrote this one down, the Bible says in the book of Judges somewhere, 16, Judges 16 and verse number 20, the Bible says this, that Samson woke up and he said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. You see, Samson just assumed. He said, well, God's given me victory before. I know he'll do it again. He just assumed I can defeat him again, but he wist not that the Spirit had departed from him. And so I think there's a good lesson here in David's life about asking and not assuming. Can I tell you tonight, it's not good for us to just assume. We need to ask. Or you can say it like this. We don't need to be presumptuous. We need to pray. We got to be careful about thinking just because it worked last time, it'll work this time. For those of you that preach, you understand this thought. Or those of you that teach, you understand this thought. You know, if I'm not careful, as somebody that's preached before, you preach a message and you feel like God used that message. And so you think, well, I'll just preach that message again. You just assume, well, God blessed it last time. God will bless it this time. It's not always the case. You just assume, well, God used that song last time I sang it. I just assume God will use it again. That's not always the case. You see, we got to be careful about just assuming that God's going to do something because it worked the last time. I thought about this and how I've tried to do this through the years, but if I'm honest, I know that I failed at times. You know, we've been to youth conferences and we've been to camps and we've had vacation Bible schools and we've done things a certain way and God has blessed it, but if we're not careful, we'll just assume because God blessed it last time, God's going to bless it this time, and that's not always the case. We got to be careful about just assuming that God's going to do something because he done it before. And that could go into many, many areas of our lives. I don't want to get too far off on this tonight, but honestly, God doesn't have to do it the way he did it before. See, if we're not careful, you know what'll happen? And I know I'm treading here and pastoring here, but he's listening, okay? I think I'm okay to say this. If we're not careful, we'll just assume because it worked for this church or it worked for this preacher, it's going to work for us. That's not always the case. We just assume because it worked in the 70s, it's going to work in 2023. That's not always the case. And I know some of you have a real hard time with that, but I'm not talking about Bible. The Bible always works. I'm talking about methods. I'm talking about the way we live our lives. You can't just assume because God blessed it then, God will bless it now. You see, you got to get God's mind on the matter. You got to ask the Lord, God, is this the way you want me to do this? God, is this how you want me to handle this situation? David's in a conflict. How about this? Have you ever had a conflict and you know what? You prayed about it. You asked God how to handle it. Maybe it was with your spouse. I know most of you don't have conflicts with your spouse. Uh-oh. Maybe it was with your children. Maybe it was at work. Maybe it was amongst the family. I don't know, but I'm just saying you had a conflict and you prayed about it and you said, God, how do you want me to handle this conflict? And you got peace about it and you felt like it was the right thing to do, and so you confronted it. You know what you got to be careful of? Is assuming that God wants you to confront it the next time. God might want you to ignore it. Or how about vice versa? You had a situation and you thought about confronting it, but you prayed about it, you thought about it, you asked God about it, and God said, you know what? It's just not a big deal. I would ignore it. And so you ignored it and it worked out great. You might not ought to ignore it next time. Do you follow what I'm saying? We can't just assume because something has happened or worked in the past, it's going to work in the future. You see, a lot of people in the Bible assumed some things. Moses assumed something and it cost him dearly. Joshua assumed something and it cost him dearly. Samson assumed something and it cost him dearly. And can I tell you, David, I believe, had learned, I can't just assume something. I've got to ask. It would have been very easy. Are you with me tonight? It would have been very easy for David to think, well, we just whooped the Philistines. I'll just go whoop them again. I mean, maybe that's just me. I mean, if I had just whooped the Philistines, I had just taken the city of Jerusalem, I had just become the king of Israel, the Philistines came out, God said, go up, I whooped the Philistines, burned all their little false gods and images, and they came back out, I'd be thinking, oh, okay, they want some more. This time we won't just burn the images, we'll burn them, right? Just assume, well, we whooped them last time, we'll whoop them this time. Hey, we can't assume. We've got to ask. God, is this what you want? God, is this how you want it? God, is this what you want us to do? Are you with me, brethren? I feel like you're not with me. I just hope you understood. I want to back up a little bit because I think I lost some of you when I said something a couple minutes ago. I want you to understand what I'm saying. Just because it worked, I'll give you an example. Just because we had a revival meeting with this preacher and God blessed it, doesn't mean he's going to bless it the next time we have that preacher. You understand what I'm saying, right? We need to ask God. If we're not careful, we'll get into the rut of thinking, oh, I'll just do it the way I always done it and God's going to bless it. I'll just do what I did last time and God's going to use it. I'll just preach that same message I preached last time and God will bless it. And that ain't the way it works. We got to get God's mind on these things. We got to ask the Lord, God, what do you want us to do? God, how do you want me to handle this situation? God, what do you want me to do in this conflict? I know the last time I ran into this problem with my children, I handled it like this and it worked out great, but that doesn't mean I'm going to handle it like this this time. We need to ask. David asked God. He sought the Lord. He looked for wisdom. We can't just assume. We must ask. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth liberally and upbraideth not. You know, when I was preaching through the book of James, I got so much help from one thing that I studied in James, and maybe many of you already knew this. Probably most of you did. But I have told you many times how simple I am, okay? I've quoted that verse of Scripture hundreds and hundreds of times through the years. But I don't think until I was preaching through the book of James last year that I really understood what it meant when it said, upbraideth not. You know, God doesn't get tired of me asking. That's what it means. You know, sometimes if you're like me, you say, well, Brother David, I've been asking. I've been asking and I've been asking and I just feel like I feel like I'm almost like I'm, you know, I'm aggravating God. Can I tell you, you're not aggravating God. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth liberally and upbraideth not. God's not angry when you ask. God doesn't get irritated. See, sometimes we try to view God like we are, because if we're not careful, our children keep asking us for something and we get angry. We get irritated. Can I tell you, God doesn't. God doesn't get angry. God doesn't get irritated. God wants us to ask. James said, let him ask of God which giveth liberally and upbraideth not. God's not going to get angry because you ask. God actually says you have not because you ask not. God says ask, seek, knock. He says just keep on coming. God's not saying stop asking. God's saying keep asking. And David didn't assume he asked. He said, God, what do you want me to do in this situation? And so he asked. God's not bothered by your asking. He encourages it. So number one, we see the importance of asking. Number two, we see the importance of attentiveness. Attentiveness. This is so important. David's asked. Now he must pay attention. Look at verse number 23. It says, when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. Verse 24 says, and let it be when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. I think this is key to this message. Not only must we ask, but we must pay attention. In my mind, I'm trying to picture this story and this event in David's life, and I even looked at some images, and I've tried to do a little research on that part of the world, and I pray to God if Jesus doesn't come soon, I pray to God that one of these days God will allow me to go to Israel. Wouldn't you love to just walk in the land of the Bible? It'll just put color on the pages. They say that you can go to this place. You can go to the Valley of Rephaim. You can see the mulberry trees. You can get an image of what exactly was going on here. Now, obviously, it's changed a lot, but you can get an idea of what was happening. But I'm just imagining David as he went and did what God said do. He went over there to the mulberry trees. I don't think David was alone. He's in a war. So I imagine David's got his men, his mighty men, his men of war with him. And David takes all those men. He says, hey, guys, I've inquired of the Lord, and God said that we need to go around behind them, and we need to go over and get in the mulberry trees, and we need to wait. They say, what are we waiting for? I don't know. A sound. What kind of sound, David? I'm not sure. A going. Some people think that word going is a marching term. Some people say that it could be that David was listening for the angels to march across those trees and know that the armies, that God's host of heaven were ready to fight that battle for David. Some people believe that word going is a marching term. Some people believe it has to do with the sound of a wind. I think it could be both. But David said, I don't know what we're listening for. I just know God said to go over there and listen for the sound of a going. And so in my mind, I'm picturing David and his men. And this is what I'm picturing. I'm picturing David telling his men, hey, shh. Be still. Stop. Be silent. Right? I thought of the verse that says in Psalms, I think it's 46, be still and know that I'm God. I believe David brought those men around to those mulberry trees, and he said, men, stop. Here's the spot. Be still. Be silent. We got to listen for the sound. God's gonna speak to us. And David said, be silent, be still. Focus on the leaves. I believe David was in those mulberry trees, and he was quiet, and he was still, and he had silenced his men. And David was, if I'm David, I'm watching those leaves like my life depends on it. Because it really did. I mean, you with me here? I'm almost done, but listen to me, brethren. This is so important. I hope this will help somebody tonight. It's helped me this week. See, I'm afraid if I'm not careful, you know what'll happen? The wind will be blowing and I won't even realize it. The leaves will be rustling and I won't even realize it. The sound of the going will be happening, and I won't realize it because there's too much sound. There's too much noise. There's too much going on. And God says every now and then, you've got to just slow down, and you've got to come apart. You've got to do what Jesus did. He went into the Bible says, a solitary place. He went into a place by himself, and he got alone with God. And I think that David understood, I've got to be real still, and I've got to be real quiet, and I've got to pay close attention because God said he's gonna send a sound and I don't want to miss it. Are you listening tonight? Are you listening for the sound? Are you listening for the still small voice that God speaks through? Are you listening for the wind to blow in your life? Or are you distracted? See, I think in this world we're living in today, it's so easy to be distracted. I told Meredith, this is almost embarrassing. But I told Meredith I was preparing this message and I was sitting down at my desk and I'm going to read to you what I wrote. And then I'm going to tell you what happened. I literally was sitting there by myself writing out this message, and it was a couple days ago, and I've been meditating on these passages of scripture, and I was kind of in a silent place, and I was in a solitude place, and I was all by myself, and I was just trying to meditate and listen to the Lord, and I started to write some things down, and I said this: David was like Samuel. When Samuel was a little young boy, and he said, he heard the voice say, "Samuel, Samuel," and Samuel went to Eli, and Eli said, "Son, go lay down. I didn't call for thee." And he heard it again. He come, and Eli said, "Go lay down," and he come again. And finally, Eli told Samuel, he said, "Samuel, go lay down, and the next time you hear that voice, you say, speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth." He told Samuel, "Samuel, go pay attention. And the next time God speaks, tell him you're listening." And I wrote that down, and then I wrote this down. I wrote in this, does God have your attention? In this media mad society, amongst all the chaos of the holidays, all that's going on in our world today, it'd be good for us to shut off our phones, turn off our devices, click off our televisions, and go to a solitary place and give God our attention. I wrote that down. And I sat back in my chair. And I said, "God, speak." And I'm not lying to you. It wasn't 2 seconds. I'm not exaggerating. Some of y'all are like, he's getting ready to get, you know, charismatic on us. No, I'm getting ready to get carnal on you. I reached over, I grabbed my phone, and I went to Facebook. Can I tell you, I don't care about nothing on Facebook. I mean, honestly. But I get on it all the time. So some of you are saying, "You're a liar, you care." I don't know. I don't know if I care. I don't know if I'm an addict. I don't know if it's that dopamine hit of scrolling. I don't know if it's like, it's. You know what I think it is? I think it's the devil's way of trying to block out the sound. The devil has got our society where we can't even sit still long enough to listen to God. My children, and I'm not bashing my children, it's all y'all's children. If you got children, you understand what I'm saying. This society we're living in, reels, YouTube videos. I mean, my son loves watching basketball, and I like watching basketball, so it's not just my son. He got that from me, okay? We like watching basketball. But if we're not careful, you know, we'll find, we'll sit there and watch a clip of Michael Jordan, and then a clip of Kobe Bryant. And then a clip of, we don't really watch clips of LeBron James, do we? We watch clips of Steph Curry. That's our favorite clips to watch. But we'll watch these clips, and we'll watch these reels, and we'll watch these videos, and it's one after another, after another, after another. And you know what I'm talking about. If you've got a cell phone, whether it's Instagram, whether it's TikTok, whether it's Facebook, whatever flavor of choice you've got, whether it's Twitter, the algorithms understand what you like, and they just keep feeding it to you. If you like to shop, they'll just keep you shopping. If you like to hunt, they'll just keep you hunting. If you like sports, they'll just keep you watching sports. If you like watching fighting, they'll just keep replaying them same fights. See, I told you I'm carnal. God help me. But I'm sitting at my desk. I'm not at my desk. I'm sitting in a chair. And I'm writing out this message. And I'm saying, turn off your phone. Turn off your device. Turn off your TV. I sat back and thought, I'm going to listen for the sound. And as soon as it got quiet, I picked up my phone. And I thought, what in the world is wrong with you? I told Meredith, I went to where Meredith was, and I said, Meredith, I said, you ain't gonna believe this. I said, I'm literally, and I told her that whole story, and I said, that's just how hard it is. But can I tell you, it's so important. God has got to get our attention. We have got to find a way. Last night, I went for a ride, and Adam was outside shooting basketball, and Adam said, where are you going? And I said, I'm going for a ride. And he said, where are you going? And I said, I don't know, son, and I'm really going to get carnal here. I hope y'all don't, like, quit listening to me preach. But I told him, I said, son, I said, you remember that scene in Rocky after Apollo died? Rocky went and got in his car, and he just went for a ride. See, some of y'all carnal too. Y'all remember it too, right? And so Rocky just went for a ride, and he's just riding, and he's thinking, and all these plays are running through his mind. I said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going for a ride. I'm going to go see if I can't find a statue of myself to throw at. I rode up here to the church, and I pulled on. Tracy probably looking at the camera. What's he doing? I pulled up underneath the carport out here, and I sat there for a couple minutes, and it was dark. I thought about coming inside and praying, but I got to looking, and it was dark, and it was kind of scary, and I said, nah, I ain't doing that. I love you, God, but unless you tell me, I'm going to listen from right here. They're locking my doors, right? Click, click. I'm telling you right now, you want to get scared, you come up here by 10 o'clock at night by yourself. I'm telling you right now, I don't know what it is. It's spiritual warfare going on around here, right? But anyway, I sat there for a minute. I said, nah, I'm all right. And I left, and I rode down 29, and I just rode, and I rode down the road that I grew up on. I rode by my house, and I was just thinking. I was just saying, God, speak to me. God, I want to hear the wind blow. God, I want to hear the sound of the going in the tops of the trees. God, I need to hear the voice from heaven. I don't want this. I don't want the things of this world to have my attention. God, you've got my attention. And I'm just telling you, brethren, we have got to give God our attention. Somehow, some way, in this media crazy world, in the middle of the holidays and the chaos and the parties and the shopping and all that's going on, the child of God has got to turn it off and just get alone and say, God, I'm listening. I'm looking. Speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth. I think it's interesting that David is at the beginning of his reign as king of Israel. And I got to move on here, but I told you I think it's the wind. I really believe David was listening for the rustling of the wind, because I think the wind is a picture of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in John chapter 3 that the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. But canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. He said, you can't see it, but you can hear it. You can hear the wind blow. And then I thought, David's at the beginning of his reign of being king over Israel, and he's listening for the wind. How about the church? I thought about Acts chapter number 2. The Bible says in verse number 1 that there came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. And I thought, man, if the church was birthed in Acts chapter 2, can I tell you what happened? They heard the wind. Some people believe, and I probably am one of them, that the church actually started in John chapter number 20 when Jesus breathed on, I know I lost somebody right there, Jesus breathed on his disciples. Can I tell you what it involved? Some wind. The wind of heaven. Maybe it was both, the wind of the Son and the wind of the Spirit. I don't know, but I'm just telling you this. When the wind blows, things start happening. And here's David. He's the king of Israel, and he finds himself down beneath those mulberry trees, and he's listening for the sound. He's listening. He's waiting to hear that sound from heaven so that he knows it's time to move. And so the point is, it's important to pay attention. That's what I need. That's what this church needs. We need to hear the sound. We need to hear the wind blow. I'd wonder this, and I'm going to move on to my last point and be done. If it did blow, would we hear it? Or are we too distracted? I thought about this. Maybe it's already blowing. Maybe the leaves are already rustling. Maybe there's already a going in my life, but I'm not paying attention. I can't stop long enough. I can't be silent long enough. Those of you that know me, that's when you're supposed to say, amen. I can't be still long enough. And those of you that really know me say, amen. Brandon says on vacation, me and Brian just can't sit still. Just got to do something. And maybe God's trying to speak. Maybe the wind's blowing. And I'm just too busy, and I'm not listening. And I don't know about you, but I want to listen. I want to hear the sound. I challenge you this week, God, speak. Ask God, speak. Give him your undivided attention. Say, God, I'm listening. God, I want to hear the wind blow. God, I want to see the leaves rustle. God, I want to hear your voice. So it's the importance of attentiveness, and then last, the importance of action. Can I tell you this? None of this does any good if we don't act. Look at verse number 24. It says, "And let it be when thou hearest the sound of the going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." And the Bible says, "And David did so as the Lord had commanded him." You see, we have to ask. We have to pay attention. And then we've got to act. David bestir, he said, bestir thyself. I looked that word bestir up, and it's very similar to the word in the New Testament where it says to stir up the gift of God that is in you. Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift of God. People say that that's like poking that fire to get it going. And that's what that verse, bestir, if you look it up in a concordance, it says to poke, to prod, it's a sharp, and then it says to move. He says, bestir thyself. David, it's time to move. You asked, you paid attention, you stopped, you slowed down, you got silent, you gave me your undivided attention, and you heard the sound. Now, David, you've got to do something. I'm not going to do it for you. I'm going to do it with you. And see, sometimes we'll ask, I'm convinced of this, sometimes we'll ask, we'll even pay attention, we'll say, God, I'm listening, show me, and God will speak, and then we won't act. And without any one of these pieces missing, there's no victory. If David assumes and he doesn't ask, he loses. I'm convinced of that. If David just assumes like Joshua did, like Moses did, like Samson did, David loses this battle. Now, God may have gave him another one and he'd have won the next battle, but he wouldn't have won this battle if he'd have just assumed. He asked. And I'm just convinced if David wouldn't have paid attention and those leaves would have started rustling and David and his men were down there celebrating, oh, God's going to give us the victory, you know, and not paying attention, then they would have missed it. But I'm also convinced that even though he asked and even though he paid attention, had he not acted when he heard the sound, had he not moved, had he not said, men, let's go, there wouldn't have been a victory. And so if we're going to have victory, we've got to ask. We've got to pay attention, and then we've got to act. You can stand to your feet. And I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play, and